Chrism is the perfumed holy oil that directly takes its name from Jesus' personal title, the Christ. From the Hebrew comes the title Messiah. From the Latin comes the designation Savior. But in New Testament Greek, the word is Christos. This title identifies Christ as the Anointed One, appointed by God to be the Savior of the world. In earlier generations, Aaron and his sons were anointed as priests, set apart as holy men to serve a holy nation. David and his descendants were anointed as kings to be the servant shepherds of the flock of the Lord. In today's first reading, taken from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the prophet proclaims what has often been called a servant song. He describes a new anointing to be bestowed directly by God upon the promised Messiah for the service of God's people. Whenever the Bible uses the words, the Spirit of the Lord, this always indicates a stupendous work of God. In Isaiah, the servant himself exalts that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In Isaiah, this anointing spirit was promised to empower the mission of the Messianic King. But anointing was also promised as an abundant gift to the entire nation. The Spirit would create a new Eden, a new paradise, a new Israel, a new Jerusalem, where the poor would hear glad tidings, where captives would be set free, where prisoners would be let out of dark dungeons into the brightness of full daylight. This would be the promised year of favor, the messianic jubilee of total salvation for the people God has made his own. The Holy Spirit would be as necessary for this new creation as breath is to the life of the body. For only by the abundant gifts of the Spirit could God's people be enlightened to understand and strengthened to obey. The Holy Spirit teaches inwardly more than human language would ever dare express outwardly. As the Scriptures promise concerning the messianic ingathering of God's people, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In the power of that same Holy Spirit, all will be given the oil of gladness and clothed in a glorious mantle. They will be named priests of the Lord, designated as ministers of God. Today's gospel reading, according to Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with the fulfillment of these words of prophecy. On the Sabbath, from the raised bema of the Nazareth synagogue, Jesus reads from the Scriptures. Specifically, he reads from the words of the prophet Isaiah. Then we are told, he rolled up the scroll and he sat down, which was the authoritative manner of a teacher about to deliver an important message. All eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began by saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. On that day, Jesus clearly revealed to the people that he was the promised Christ. As Christians, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, which has always united him to his Father. But we also confess that Christ now shares that same anointing spirit with all those he has redeemed in our transforming anointing as catechumens, in our confirmed anointing as believers, in our healing anointing as the sick and the broken, and in our empowered anointing as priests and bishops. By God's grace, Christians are the chrismated, those anointed by the Spirit and sealed in Christ, uniting God to us and us to God. It was in the very first decade of Christianity, in the Church of Antioch, that Christians were first called by that name. The anointed intentionally identified themselves with their Savior, the Anointed One. The name Christian was also used as an accusation in eras of persecution and martyrdom, when believers freely gave up their lives for the sake of Christ. The name of Christ and the message of Christianity was first preached in the ancient apostolic churches and later throughout the whole world. And in God's great mercy and providence, the gospel was preached even in this, our local church, the Church of Peoria. So in this Holy Week, at this Chrism Mass, in this year of our Lord, 2010, in this year of the priest, it is well to remember how intrinsically the presbyterate is identified with anointing in the Holy Spirit. Now, it is certainly true that through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, all the faithful are designated as a royal priesthood. But it is also true that by divine institution, the ministerial priesthood is especially consecrated in the Spirit to teach, sanctify, and govern God's holy people. So there are two kinds of sharing in the one priesthood of Christ. There is the grace of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, but there is also the special grace of holy orders. Through the power of the cross of Christ, priests of the New Testament are more blessed than the Levites, of greater dignity than the elders of old. They are recipients of a richer anointing than that of the temple priesthood of the former dispensation. Priests are ordained to serve in the person of Christ the head. Through the laying on of hands and holy anointing, the sacrament of holy orders effects a recipient in the very core of his being and imparts a radical capacity to be configured in Christ in such a way that a priest may preach with authority in Christ's name, may absolve sins in Christ's name, may celebrate the Eucharist in Christ's name, and comfort and heal the sick in Christ's name. And bishops, sharing in the fullness of the priesthood, ordain in Christ's name and govern the local church entrusted to their care in Christ's name. Priests, according to the order of Melchizedek, are anointed in the Spirit as was Jesus Christ, not to be filled, but to be poured out, not to be affirmed, but to be denied, not to be satisfied, but to be set on fire, not to be safe, but to be an oblation for the glory of God and the service of neighbor. At this Chrism Mass, the entire presbyterate gathers around me, their bishop. At this Chrism Mass, the priesthood of this diocese renews its commitment to fidelity and service, and they are witnesses and cooperators in the consecration of the chrism for the sanctification of the Christian people. So at this Chrism Mass are also gathered our deacons, our seminarians, our consecrated religious, and the holy people of God. This Chrism Mass is a kind of transparent image of the meaning of priestly ministry, serving in the midst of an assembled church. So we should pay attention to the mysteries we celebrate together. Oil, when it is first brought before the holy altar, is only olive oil. And the precious balsam, which we will pour into the chrism, is simply an expensive perfume. But through the prayerful invocation of the Holy Spirit of God, ordinary oil will become the very gift of Christ. And through the same Spirit, mere perfume will become the fragrance of the divine presence. By the power of Christ's high priesthood, the chrism becomes the visible means by which we receive the invisible gifts of the Spirit. When our hands and our foreheads and our bodies and our senses and the walls of our churches and the altars around which we worship are anointed by the oil that we see, both body and soul are sanctified by the life-giving Spirit that we may only see through the eyes of faith. This is the Spirit who is our paraclete, our advocate, who pleads on our behalf with words that cannot be spoken. This is the Spirit who gives gladness and consolation in this temporal world, but inspires in us a hunger for a world that lasts forever. This is the Spirit who empowers our capacity for the gift of God's endless love. God the Father first anointed Christ with the oil of gladness above all other kings, his robes fragrant with aloes and myrrh. In the Eucharist, the redeeming aroma of Christ gathers in his anointed people, and happy indeed are those called to his supper. For by the working of the Holy Spirit, every Mass anticipates the wedding feast of the Lamb and the boundless beatitude of heaven. So today, and for all our tomorrows, through the power of the same Spirit, we must breathe in the rich fragrance of Christ. As today's second reading from the book of Revelation powerfully reminds us, at the end of time, Christ our High Priest will present the chrismated, all those he has anointed, as a pure and fragrant offering to God his Father. And as the Spirit-filled text exults in words of awe and expectation, "See, he comes upon the clouds, for he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and he has made us a royal nation of priests in the service of God his Father. To him be power and glory forever and ever. Amen."